the style system. And yeah, so ran through. It's a long sales page. There were five parts to it, and sales page goes on. I divide. So if, depending on who you are, let's say you know you're a military man. How military veterans use the personal image system. You can click there, and we give a quick little case study. So I mean, the sales page is very detailed. One thing I've learned is this sales page, honest. It's too complex. I know this, but people look at this and they're like, well, which one do I want? Which one do I need to get? So they come here to buy, and we gave them four choices. I try to be, you know, I try to direct people into this one. That's the one I'd like to sell all day because it's automated, and it's you know, a good price point. But I just found a lot of people are confused, and then I thought I was being clear, but I think I was being confusing when I give them this much of information about what each of the courses has. You know, it's one of those things. I'm knee deep in it, but after having spoken with a lot of people that have bought or a lot of people that haven't bought, you know, why what held you back? And a lot of it was, I just didn't know which one I needed, and so that's you know, I need to go back and revise this. But
yes. To build that sales page?
Optimize Press. I believe Optimize Press 2. And it allows, I have lead pages, you know, their stuff didn't give me as much options. So we got, I mean, a lot of bonuses here. But so I'm going to revamp this, and I'm only going to have one product that I'm selling. And then we're going to do an upsell and a downsell. Let me show you. Let me see. Master-D. There it is. Let me show you. This is a hidden page, and we're using ClickFunnels on this one. So this is going to get Well, that didn't work out well. So I don't think it's I don't think that's ClickFunnels.
Did you do hyphen D or did you do slash D?
Thought it was. Let me see. Master dash D should be that. Let's see if master slash C works. Not looks like we moved. Actually, I know what happened. We moved it over to another URL, so those pages are gone right now. But basically, I've got a ClickFunnels system that that works pretty cool. Basically, my thing now is to implement that. So I'll have more feedback on that here relatively soon. But yeah, my focus has been like with right now. It's just been the website. We've gotten some pretty heavy traffic, and I've been having to deal with. Just what happens when your website starts to break? Because we got 47,000 people Saturday, 46,000 yesterday, and so it's a lot of advertising. Like I make money, it's the numbers look cool, but honestly the value of my traffic is much lower than Tom, than your traffic, because or to you know Dave Chesson, you know if for those guys they're getting like Pat Flynn's traffic to me is much more valuable since business owners, and I'm selling a product which let me ask Zach, by the difference between a business owner spending money and a person spending money out of their wallet, what do you think the big advantages and disadvantages of one selling to the consumer or selling to the business?
All right, so can you clarify that like a little bit? Like, what do you mean? Like, what?
Sure. So, if you're going to sell to businesses, what's the big advantage? Or if you're going to sell to a consumer, what are the big advantages?
Well, if you're like, selling to a business, they can write it off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just like we look at it as a cost of doing business. When I've got to pay PayPal a couple hundred dollars on a transaction because it's in the thousands of dollars, I'm like, you know, it sucks, but I got to have my money quick, and this is business. And honestly, I can't be dealing with checks that could be lost in the mail. If I want my website to go 2 seconds faster, I'm willing to pay a few hundred dollars to have some type of accelerator on my website. Or if I need really premium hosting with some of the stuff we're looking at now, you know, $10,000 a year. You know, it's going to be the cost of doing business. Yeah, you know, that's a lot of money, especially when you're used to paying $100 a year with Bluehost or GoDaddy. You know, but if I can stay up and if I'm making money with my website and if good hosting can actually double your traffic because it sends the signal to Google that your website, you know, isn't in a bad neighborhood, which happens with shared hosting sometimes. I mean, these are good problems to have, but yeah, as a business, I open up my, you know, it's like I open up my credit, my wallet all the time because it's like, okay, I'm making money, I got to spend money to make more money. With individuals, it's like most of us have a very set amount. Now the advantage, and so we're very careful about spending our own money. On the other hand, there's so many more individuals. So that's the, you know, that's the big advantage of them, I think. Now, what do you think? Nick, you got something to add? I can't hear you.
You're on mute.
Yes, I do. I think that, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There we go. Right on. I think businesses spend differently than consumers. Consumers will spend a lot with emotion. Whereas businesses, if you can tell me as a business owner that, hey, you're gonna spend $1,000 here, you can make it two, I'll spend $1,000. But as a consumer, you tell me I gotta spend $1,000 and I'm gonna get enjoyment, it's way differently. It's a different decision.
Yeah. Cool. Looks like we've got a few joining. Okay, so hey Tom, I chatted with GoToMeeting. Apparently six is the max. I thought it was more, and I could have had more on here. I spoke with someone. It was there in their chat, and I didn't feel that they were giving me, you know, as much. So, but right now, as far as I can tell, we're limited to six.
Huh.
I'm going to be stepping off, and I'm going to allow somebody else to jump in here. Maybe Jay Bear wants to jump in, but Jay Bear, what are you talking about? You're going to have your brains going to explode, like information overload here? Speaking of information overload, next week you don't want to miss it, guys. Got Nathan Berry coming in. Tom, I told you about that?
Yeah, I saw that scheduled. That's awesome.
Yeah, and guys, here's the deal, is every month we can bring in someone of high value that you're going to be very interested to hear from. Just let us know. If you think that me, Tom, John, we have a connection with an entrepreneur that you really want to bring in, let us know. And I think the best ones to bring in are industry specific with a certain skill set. Like as much as I would like to get Barbara Kirkland on, and she does like vets and all that stuff, that one is going to be almost like very difficult to make happen. And, you know, I don't know if she's going to spout any specific. She won't have time to really look at our businesses. However, you know, someone like Nathan Berry, who is just killing it with ConvertKit and understands email marketing and segmentation like no other, he's built an entire business on it. You know, that's something we can make happen. I think bringing in a sales expert. I've got a friend named Matthew Kimberly that just is a sales machine. Bringing in a Facebook expert. Maybe we'll bring in Rick Moretti, or I can bring in possibly a guy named John Loomer. Maybe even Amy Porterfield. You know, another person I'm thinking maybe Pat Flynn, come in from Small Income. Nick, I don't know who you follow. John, I don't know who inspires you in terms of business entrepreneurship, but if you want to submit a few names to us, guys, we're going to be in 2016. That's going to be one of the keys. Every month, we're not going to have a meeting every week once we get past the first 2 months of the system or of the course. But going forward, every month we're going to try to bring in a guest speaker and we're going to have a mastermind. So it'll become almost like a bi-weekly thing. And we'll also be doing a lot more one-on-ones. I think, Zach, Bob, we just had our one-on-one about a week ago, which I know you've been knocking out, at your daily videos?
Yeah, I got them, all seven. They should be out. We're done editing today, so we should have them tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah, just release them one day at a time.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't release them all at one time. You know, just spread it out there. Schedule them if you can. That's great. And then you don't even have to think about it. And then you go ahead and you get it done for the next week. But Nick, if you want to schedule one-on-one, HJB, J-Bear, John, we probably need to talk. So I want to hear more about what's going on with Lace with your company. I know, Tom, you've done a good job just setting things up. And, is there anyone else let me see. Mike's out there. I'm going to step out, and I'll let, because if Mike wants to jump in or Jay Bear wants to jump in, BJ. You know, we got BJ in from San Diego. How are you doing out there, BJ?
I'm good. How are you guys? I haven't been on since the new group has shown up.
So I know. To, yeah, let us know nice if you want us to bring in a beer, you know, or a brewery owner. I'd love to. Maybe Tom, I'll let you stay on and head things up, and we can get an update from BJ.
Yeah, totally. And that's another thing. I could probably get Dan Norris on. He just started a brewing company in Australia, so totally different, but good dude. Very smart at the social media stuff.
Yeah, that's an important one that I need to start looking at for the for getting my business together on the social side, just because that's something that I have no experience with.
Cool. Well, BJ, do you want to give a quick introduction and then to yourself and where you're at? It's just so everybody who hasn't gotten the chance to meet you yet can get an idea.
Sure, not a problem. Yeah, my name is BJ Roten. I was with the last group. I'm opening a brewery in San Diego. I'm a former Marine, just recently retired. And right now I'm just going through the long, drawn-out process of getting all my licenses. And believe me, Prohibition is alive and well. It takes forever to get liquor licenses. But I just got approved for my trademark, which was a big deal. And so there's just some minor stuff going on. Once I get that going, then I can actually start looking at products and things like that. So yeah, I've learned a lot from this group so far, especially that I don't know anything about CM marketing. And so I've learned a lot of stuff from the group here, and it's very, very helpful.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your progress as we move forward. And yeah, if you want, just let us know if there's a particular person you'd like to get connected with. I think Dan Norris he's just a great content marketer and great social media marketer. And he just started Black Ops Brewing in Australia, and they got connected with Black Ops, the video game, and they made like a special beer with them. I don't know. It was pretty epic, but that would be a really cool case study. I don't know. Maybe you can learn something from it. So cool, guys.
Very cool.
Well, today that we're going to be talking about sales, which is module 4 of the course. So I know everybody's kind of at different speeds right now, but we're trying to get all caught up to module 4 if you guys can. And so this is a pretty big one. There's literally dozens of components here. Awesome. Is this on your screen, Antonio?
I've got it. I'll be the guy in the back end.
Cool. So here's the how many people have gotten a chance to go through this module, even partially? Awesome. Okay, cool. So
that's a long module.
Yeah. Let's see where we're at. Not bad. It's pretty neck and neck right now. I like it. Cool. So guys, I guess I want to start by just seeing if there's any major takeaways from the lesson. Just anybody in general. John, I know you're working on suits and you're kind of neck deep right now getting your sales funnel set up. And after our one-on-one call, I'm curious if there are any takeaways for you on this.
Yeah, well, one was I was looking into it for a while. I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to do it, but I'm really interested in doing a subscription, a yearly subscription for guys that just deals with their wardrobe. So you have like, I want to do probably like a 3 or 4 different tier option where you have like your basic tier, like a couple of shirts a year, like maybe a seasonal shirt, and then 1 to 2 suits a year, and then tier it up for depending how much people actually have to use. But I think that'll work well for a lot of guys that don't really want to think about, oh yeah, I should probably get some new shirts because these ones are getting old. And I have noted just through research and through reading through this week's module, the perks of having a subscription model available to people.
Very cool. And are you able to test that out at all with your market right now?
I haven't figured out exactly how I want to do that because right now my platform I'm on, I don't know if it provides it. I probably will have to do like a different avenue to be able to get the subscriptions up. I have never worked with subscriptions or done anything like that, so it's going to be interesting to start plugging away at that and seeing how I can implement it.
Cool. And Nick, how about you, man? After you have gotten a chance to go through this a little bit, and I know after our call, I know you spoke to Antonio just the other day. So I'm curious if you've had any takeaways from this lesson in particular, this module in particular.
You know what? I'd like to really have something to upsell. And like John said, I'd like to get into some subscription pricing, but I'm very focused on getting the initial development and the site out there and really delivering that minimum viable product right now. So the module is great, and I need to revisit it once I get launched and have the time to really expand, because right now it's getting that MVP out there and mm-hmm. and starting making some sales.
And tell us a little bit about that so everybody has an idea of what you're working on.
All right, so where I'm at right now, it's the snow clearing site. You guys all know about it. It's with my developers, and the last update I got was it should be moving to my servers this week, and then I'll spend the rest of the week once it's there testing it out. I'll send it out to all you guys to get some feedback and notice if we need to fix any little glitches. And then I'm going live with the marketing strategy, hopefully next week. Our schedule was to be done 3 weeks ago, but the payment system needed to be right, because mm-hmm. payment gets hacked, you're screwed. So this thing, I didn't want to rush it. I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit stressful, but we're getting later in the year. I'm a little bit stressed out, but it's definitely, it's looking good. I'm on the developer's server there, trying it out, testing out, changing some wording. And they can't write copy to save their lives, but they write good code in the background. So that's what counts. But yeah, I have nothing really to add at this point, because that's where my focus has been, is just getting all the little fixes done.
Yep.
And really getting that minimum viable product. There's a lot of things I want to do, and going through the sales page, there's so many affiliates. I want to get in on the affiliate marketing. I'm going to have a user base that is coming to buy things online. We know what they are, where they are, talk about targeted marketing, but we need to get out there first.
Yep.
And then start looking at how we can really accelerate those.
And you're doing a sort of like limited release here soon, you said?
Yeah, so as soon as the website's good to go, it gets transitioned to my servers, and then it's free. We can start the launching process, but I don't want to start getting traction on it before we know for sure that it works. Because if we talk about it and then it doesn't work and we have to go back to the drawing board, you know what, I'd rather launch next winter and not have wasted our opportunity if the thing blows up for some reason. So, okay. You know, I'm new to this technology thing. That's but cool. Hopefully later this week I can send you all a link and you can try it out. That's the goal.
Yeah, please do. Will I break the system if I order something from Colorado?
No, actually, it's completely set up for that. So you tell all your friends and start getting the kids in your neighborhood clearing your driveway.
I like it. Cool. Very cool.
I'd love to see a cluster of users in Colorado. And same thing with Wisconsin there, Antonio. I'd love to see Wisconsin clearing snow too.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
It looks good, guys. It's like I said, getting that code back or payment system is a big deal. Because
I would say, you know, there's never a right time to launch anything, and it would be something, you know, even if it doesn't get out till February, you know, don't feel that. I mean, yeah, there's still, it would have been great if it was out in November, in December, but, you know, don't let that slow you down. You know, I think that you want to work out the bugs. It's better to work them out at the end of this season and then next season just hit it versus, you know, put it on hold again. But
yeah, and you know what? That's exactly my plan, is to get it right. And that's why I've accepted the delays and not pushed the developer, because I don't think it's worth having them rush and put something out there that doesn't quite work. I don't want people to get stuck in one of those endless loops online. I had this with the bank the other day. Like, it just keeps taking me back to step one, but I want to be on step three. It's ridiculous. You're just not going to develop a customer base if you do that. So, you know, minimum viable. I don't have ads. I don't have affiliate links. It's very bare bones, but it's got to work well. So basic works well. That's what we're shooting for. And like I said, hopefully I'm standing here next Monday and we're all talking about how it looks and how it works.
Awesome.
I'm also going to have questions for all you guys about email and some email feedback. I've got an opportunity here, just like if any of you have ever used Uber, Airbnb, any of those kinds of services. Every time you log in, you do something on the page, you set up in, you put a bid on something, email's got to go out to just keep you up to date, let you know. I think that I'm going to have some opportunity there, especially at the end when we're sending receipts and getting feedback, to really leverage a massive email list of people who are getting emails that they want. Maybe there's some opportunity to throw some stuff in there as well. So any advice or feedback along those lines, I'll be looking for in about 2 weeks once I'm a little less stressed out.
My buddy is actually like one of the developers for Uber, and he just rewrote their email automation system. So that transactional emails that you're talking about, he just redid their whole thing. So pretty smart dude. So maybe I can bring him. But that gets pretty. I don't know. He talks in code basically, so I don't know how useful it would be to pull him on. But he's a very, very smart guy, and I could put you in contact if you're interested.
Yeah, and it's not as much the code that I'm interested in, because I'm paying somebody to do the code. I couldn't figure that out. But what do you say in the email? How can you generate more leads or make something happen? You've already got a captive audience. We want to leverage that captive audience somehow, but without being sleazy. Or just a link factory. You know, we want to go from useful to useful with a little bit of leverage, rather than useful to spam.
Yep.
You know, that's really what I'm looking for. Because to code it, I'm going to be paying somebody to code it.
So. Cool. Well, I think Nathan will be a good guy to have on then. When we get him on the call, he'll be very good to talk to. But that's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing that, Nick. Antonio, did you want to talk about customer acquisition costs? I see you're on that page, and I think it's a pretty good topic.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I mean, as we're talking with Nick here, I was just wondering if he had any ballpark figures about what the customer acquisition cost or what he's going to be willing to spend to get those first 100 users. I know you were talking about spending a lot of your time and trying to craft story, but still there's a cost.
Absolutely, there's a cost. So my intention for the first 100, screw the first 100, first 1,000 users, I'm going to launch with a contest for the opportunity to win free snow clearing. And I'm going off Zach Bob's idea to leverage Facebook. Thank you, Zach Bob. So the plan will be win free snow clearing for the rest of the season. You have to log in or sign up to the website. No. And link through on Facebook. So we'll get the social media shares, and we'll draw probably on the first of the year. We'll draw a name out of the Facebook linked auction or whatever, not auction site, but the draw site, and then we'll take the username out of the system and go, hey, here's you won your free snow clearing. We're going to use that to get ourselves onto the local news services up here in Canada, because news is boring and everyone loves free snow clearing. And really get some Facebook traction there. So that cost is potentially, especially depending on where and who wins it. But I'm willing, and I've budgeted to spend $5,000 on the initial advertising campaign in the free snow clearing contest. And then we're going to donate a bunch of money for the Military Family Resource Centers to go out and get some free snow clearing in their communities. That's a donation that we want to do because we want to support the families in our communities. But it also lets us get some traction on Facebook because military families, again, they turn things viral in their community very quickly. And if they're using the service, it's coming in to provide the service for them, and we can really get some of these communities, especially the military-type communities, addicted to the service. So every time that a military family puts up a job, yeah, we're paying for it, but a user comes in, does the work, we get a little bit of fee on that, and then that user is going to go somewhere else and look for work, and we get to build up a bit of a user base in some other communities. So that's the initial plan, and then after that, I really need to look at where we get traction and decide how best we can market to those environments and those user groups. Like Zach Bob said, the middle-aged clientele is turning more and more. So I have a feeling we'll be doing a lot of Facebook advertising.
Yeah, well, don't forget that radio, okay?
Absolutely. We've We've got a plan to work with the radio. We know a few local broadcasters around, and fortunately the news cycle here is boring as sin. So,
no, you know, radio is. I just love radio because it's so. And I know we hit on it just like a call the other day, but I mean, my kids. I mean, we live because we have to drive here in rural Wisconsin 30 miles anywhere, and I mean, we know all the commercials, especially if they're catchy and if they're funny. And we've got some pretty good ones over here. But hey, I'm gonna interrupt really quick. I've got some. Just wanted to point out. You guys are doing really well, and I'm just really proud of you guys for knocking through so many of these and staying up on this. And I did want to say Jay Bear, you did a great. Dave did a great job here. I don't know, John, great job. Nick, Zach, Bob, you did great. But I do need to recognize a winner of for Module 2, and that is H.J. Bush. So this guy has been a machine knocking through these things, staying up. He's just been ahead of the pack. But, just wanted to, H.J. Bush, kicking butt there. So really do appreciate it. I went through, looked at a lot of your answers. Guys, I know I don't get a chance to respond to one. It's something that, Tom and I, we talk about it. We're going in and we're trying to catch some of them. If you do send us a question or you got something, please email us directly. I can't say I catch all of them, but, it's like I do get every single, all of these emails. If I could show you, we get all of these emails. So right there, where was it? Yeah, there's all of them. So, Zach, Bob, you've been knocking through. Nick. I get all of them, so they're all boom right in there. But great job, and with that, Zach, Bob, I'd love to hear a little bit from you. And Mike, I see you're still out there, and Jay Bear would love to hear for a little bit here in a few minutes. But how has it been shooting that Vinny, a little bit about what you were able to accomplish?
Well, the morning we talked, I think you said you shot, like, how many videos was it that day? Like 14 or 24 or something like that in the morning?
No, it wasn't that many. It was like 21. Come on.
21.
Yeah, well, we ran into quite a few problems. I think it was because we were shooting so many times, and we did it all in one day. Like one of the episodes, we forgot to actually turn on the lav mic, and then we had a live guest, so we're just going to have to roll with the audio that we got on that, and then... And running into issues with the camera, and it was kind of a pain in the ass, to be honest. It took a while, but I mean, at the same time, I think that if we went back and did it again, which we plan to do, I think we'll be able to get a lot better and a lot more smoother at it over time.
So what could you do to make that process smoother? What specifically could you do?
I don't know. I have a show producer, so I'm blaming him right now. He's sitting next to me.
Yeah. Does he have a checklist that he goes through?
We are building checklists now, so we're in the process of building quite a few checklists. That's something I talked about with Tom, about getting a VA and having them actually build our checklists.
My son, when he cleans the van, he's 11, he has a checklist. And it's funny, like, even something is that my wife, I think she has checklist. Literally, I have checklists for my kids for chores. It's something, it's funny, but I can game it sometimes. I can just like, hey, can we knock through the checklist in 5 minutes? And, my kids, sometimes they'll play along with dad, other times they don't. But what I do find that those checklists, for what you said with the mic, that's happened to all of us. There's nothing worse. I had a video today that I sent, and I'm using now a digital SLR for some of my filming, and I did not check to make sure it was in crisp focus. And somehow it had got readjusted. I thought it wouldn't have changed from yesterday. But, yeah, I shot this video, sent it to my video guy, and he's like, hey, I can't use this. You're blurry the entire video. And I had to go back, and I had to say, darn it, this wasn't on my old camera. It never had this issue. But now I'm using a digital SLR. So, pilots, jet pilots use them, astronauts, doctors. It's just something that we've got to become disciplined because – for those things we're going to do again and again. And when you nail it at the beginning, if you've got it in your checklist, kind of like when you send an email, when I send an email, I always send test emails. And I check every link. And I read it out loud. And I almost have to, I kind of have to sing my emails. It's kind of a weird thing I do. But if I don't do that, then there could be a chance that like I forget something. I definitely always misspell something, which I try to catch. But I know I can always catch those dead links. That's the worst, when you guys get an email and you're on somebody's list and the link doesn't work, you know, and the guy doesn't even know it, and he sends an email 2 hours later. Oh, sorry, you know. But, you know, all those things, definitely when you can use a checklist, it's going to help.
There, finished checklist.
All right, so we'll nail
it. I've started. We just haven't finished it because of that, what happened last week.
Now, what about, we were talking about upsells, and I was thinking about you, Zach Bob. How can you, what do you guys, you reached out to your other customers, you were looking at what else you could sell them. We were talking about, have you guys come up with any upsells that you can get with them? Get to them coaching or?
We've talked about, we've got a really, really great course right now. We've talked about breaking it down into parts and leaving the bulk of it as the main course and still keeping the price the same. But then kind of breaking it down into a few, and actually after reading, because I was going over the assignment just before we got on, and after reading through it, I was thinking about making those courses like a smaller price and giving them options, you know, after, you know, they purchase this, that you can go on, and then, hey, also we have this, you know, how to fulfill your orders through crowdfunding, like what sites you should fulfill through, and like steps and processes and things like that. So that's one option that we were looking at for a possible upsell.
Cool. I'm liking it. And I think I could have sell small, sell often. You don't necessarily, I think, you know, because you can sell something in proportion. One upsell personally I'm looking to use, and I was sharing this in one of my courses, is actually I'm going to throw on coaches. It's going to double the price. But, you know, when you're putting together that upsell, you almost want to think, I don't want to sell them something that would make them ever regret their last purchase, but in a sense could supercharge it or enhance it a bit. So maybe you had people go through your course or they really liked the material. They just didn't have the team to implement it or to make it happen. And maybe, you know, and that may not be something you even want to do. I know we were talking, you had taken on some work that honestly you undercharge for now, mm-hmm. but it may be something, you know, maybe there is the opportunity. They bought a $1,000 course. Maybe there's the opportunity for a $10,000 service sell.
Yeah, and I think that's what we talked about last week, or mm-hmm. maybe it was the week before, but I got that written down too.
Okay.
I got a whole bunch of stickies sitting here.
All right, well, I love it. We keep throwing stuff, picking it up. Well, we've got some other guys out there in the group that haven't. How have you been?
Oh, sorry, one second. I'll unmute you. You all good, Mike?
Mike, you sound like a chipmunk, man. Yeah, you sound like Alvin. We've got something go.
I can't wait to show you the recording of this, Mike. This is good. But maybe I would, if you can, maybe you can close out and then call back in. Real quick, because it's something to do with your microphone.
Yeah, your microphone is on the fritz, man. Okay, so we're going to move, Mike, we'll let you close out, come back in. We're going to move over to Jake there.
Hello?
Oh, there we go. Can hear you now.
Okay. I know I was having mic issues a while back, so.
I think it's all good now. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about what's been up.
Dropped the ball over the weekend because I had drill. And I've actually it was the resiliency training we did over the weekend that kind of got me thinking about what I wanted to work with. And so we talked about how in the military, why do we have resiliency training, and some of the reasons that came up were that people they're not open-minded about certain things, or they think that certain situations are never going to happen to them. So that's it's kind of like, you know, you get caught with your pants around your ankles. So that's why we have resiliency training that kind of opens us up to various situations. So that was one thing that I was looking at and potentially working with for my coaching program. And I just took a lot of notes during the whole training in putting it in a manner that made sense to me. And basically that would become how I present it to others, because how one person says something to me, I may not understand it. But if another person says the same thing to me, I may understand it. It just all depends on, I guess, like body language and tones and the words that you use and how it resonates with the person that you're trying to get in touch with, or whoever is seeking your services. So made a little headway on that, but I know that the task that you had, you and I talked about, Tom, totally dropped the ball on that this weekend due to drill. But
it's okay. We got plenty of time.
Still feel like I'm playing catch up a little bit.
Okay. So now I'm curious, having gone through, you've gone through a few of the lessons, right?
Yes, I'm actually currently on customer finance on module 4.
Awesome. So has anything stuck out to you when it comes to pricing, presenting the offer and things like that, for you in particular? Because you're looking to do coaching, as far as I'm still aware. So any thoughts in terms of like how you can apply this to your coaching practice?
So pricing, I mean, I've thought about it. And if anything, I was thinking of doing like a fixed cost, and I would also do that. What was the term for it? No. I would definitely use the odd pricing for sure, because that kind of gets a lot of people. I feel like it's just the money mindset that a lot of people have. It's so instead of saying, oh, you're gonna pay $100 for this item, you know, you're gonna pay $99.99 for it, and you can see that in retail sales as well. Like you have a lot of stuff that's marketed at like $49.99 or $4.99. So a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to buy that instead of this because, you know, for them, that one penny, a whole world of a difference. So I was thinking of doing odd pricing and then do kind of like a packaging where you have like your regular content and then you have X amount of hours a week with me. In a group session, you can like ask questions and I'll answer them. But if you're wanting more of my time, then potentially put those people into a VIP program and charge them more because I'm giving them more individual time. So maybe like more one-on-one sessions kind of thing. So I thought about doing it that way. Want to add on like supplemental sessions, like hey, you can add on a session for X amount of dollars, or you can add on an hour session, like an hour session for $30 or something like that. But at the same time, it kind of makes me think of like how much time I would have to put towards these groups or these people if it gets to the point where, you know, I've got a lot of people in the VIP program, so then I have to spend however many hours with this person a week to get them over whatever trial or tribulation that they're going through, or if they're stuck on something, whatever it may be. So I've thought about it a little bit, but I'm not like purely set on it, because it's also depending on like how long I'm going to offer whatever program it may be, like if I'm doing a 30-day or 60-day, 90-day, or even up to a 6-month program. So it just really right now, it's really dependent on the content that I'm writing out and whatever program comes of that and how I'm organizing it. So it's kind of like doing things backwards for me.
Hey, J-Bear, how did your business model and your lean canvas go putting that together?
I have that on paper somewhere or on my computer somewhere. I sent it. It wasn't easy for me to write it out, I know that much, because I think the toughest part was, like, the niche And I know I didn't have solid numbers when it came to like the bottom two sections of it. Let me see if I can pull it up. And I think that's the template. What did I do? That's like.
I think you talked about, or you hit on something which basically you felt you maybe had fallen a little bit behind, you'd maybe missed some deadlines that were talked about. You and Tom had talked about hitting some certain things, but it reminds me of a story of a friend of mine. He used to work for FedEx, which I don't know if you guys know, was founded by a Marine, Fred Smith. But over at FedEx, they actually push you. He was a sorter, and they would throw so many packages at him that he would have, basically he would drop the ball. Like he would eventually be frustrated with this and just almost like stop throwing boxes in the wrong direction. And his manager pulled him aside and just said, hey, you know, don't worry, there's an acceptable number of mistakes. And he was like, well, why don't you just let me work at a slower pace and therefore, you know, do a perfect job? And his manager revealed that's supposedly they had done some research on this, and they still got three times the output from somebody when they pushed them to the point of they were committing a set of acceptable errors than if you at a pace that you're very comfortable at, but and you feel like you're not making mistakes. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the great things about like when you're getting pushed in groups or you're getting deadlines that are very hard to meet, is you're often going to be three times faster than if you would go at the pace that you would feel comfortable at. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something that, you know, don't feel bad about definitely not hitting some of these dates. Always try to get to them, but mm-hmm. when it comes down to it, you know, this is, it's for you. You're the one that this is all for.
Yeah, I actually bought a weekly planner, so I have like my hours planned out, so it's like better time management. So I don't stress out about time. So like one of the things that I've been learning is that, and that I see a lot is that a lot of people are a slave to time. They're like, I don't have enough time, or you know, I'm running behind, I'm playing catch up and things like that. And I'm like, I'm still guilty of these habits because you know I've been using them for 24 years, but I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm where my time comes from. So what I spend time on, you know, that's what I need to look at. And so writing out my schedule for the last week or so has made me really look into where my time, so whatever wasn't serving towards my business or helping my dad, I would just scratch it off. And so then I fill that extra time for working out, for extra hours to read or whatever it may be. So I still feel like I'm playing catch up a little bit, but like it's not as bad as it was like a week or so ago, because I have my days planned out where, oh, okay, I'm going to do all this for this group this day. I'm going to do this. And so it's I've gotten better about it. So it's more managed.
So Ramit Sethi, and he's a big supporter of veterans as well. So and he's a great email list to be on. If you're not for copy, this guy is amazing because he only targets, I think, who would you say? He doesn't, his emails, Tom, do you get Ramit Sethi's emails?
I did for a while, and then I kind of had to delete them because it becomes all affiliate promotion after about 5 minutes.
Yeah, he goes, he definitely, I think he's just targeting, you know, like Indians, you know, American Indians, you know, East Indians that in a sense work out and simply don't mind being a little bit crass and annoying. But I still like him a lot. So, but he put out this great post or it was a great article, and he interviewed a guy named Cal. We were just talking about this last week, deep work. And this guy apparently is getting a lot, so I'm going to bring it up again. But what I really loved about this great post is he brought in examples of people and their stories and how they manage it. The big takeaway was set your schedule and then cut ruthlessly to make it happen. And anything that doesn't fit there, you're just going to have to make a decision. So he's got choose a work schedule that you think provides the ideal balance. Do whatever it takes to avoid violating that schedule. And it sounds simple, but as Clausewitz, our famous German, strategy guy always said, war is simple, but even the simple is complex. And it's a great thing. And it's something that, here's the hard part, is you can get this down, and then a month later or 2 months later, you're going to have to revisit and make sure that things haven't crept in. I know for me, I used to have this down pat, and then my fourth kid was born, and things just changed again. But it's a great read. I highly recommend you guys check it out after. Tom, back to you.
Thanks, Antonio. Yeah, that's good stuff. I love it. I need to actually maybe apply that to my life at some point. I think that's good. So guys, we've been through, let's see, Mike, you're back on. How's the audio?
Do I sound like a chipmunk?
Nope, that's good.
Right, I sound like a man again. Nice.
That's right. How's everything going?
I'm kind of disorganized, but I'm getting better, and I've been pulled in like four or five different directions, so like I'm trying to get people locally and then get people online at the same time, because I'm working with you guys and I'm working with somebody else on a summit I'm on that's going through December, so I was working on getting a product out for that, a free gift to give to people for the email list that I'm building. And then like I was talking to you, Tom, about doing a survey. Well, I went out and got my Sunday's best and went out there and started talking to people, and nobody wanted to talk to me, so I went and started talking to people in stores, because I know that's soliciting, but I said, what the heck, all I can do is tell me to get out. So I talked to four or five women, and I got into the same thing. Everybody wanted the same thing. They want accountability, simplicity, and the men just really wanted to cut straight to the answer. I mean, everybody wanted the same thing, so as long as you can provide the service for whatever niche that they have, which would be lose fat, gain muscle, which is what everybody needs, I can provide that. So whatever the selling point is for them.
So what are do you have any big takeaways from doing that survey and talking to these people? That's what I'm really curious about. Like, it sounds like there was some consistency between the message and what they said.
Well, I mean, I got one lady that she had, All these people seem to have like recurring problems. Like this one lady, Minra Poole, she had, specific things she wanted, and she was worried about her stomach and her legs. Other woman was just worried about weight gain. But they're all consistent with just wanting to lose fat and having a body image that they have in their mind. But the one thing was like time and priority. Or they would get on Weight Watchers and it would cost them $1,000, and they wouldn't have any way to get back to that weight. Once they lost the 30, they didn't know what to do. Like the difference between me and them is I teach them how to keep the weight off. So, a year after, they're going to be like, oh, okay, well, maybe I should switch my carbs to nighttime, not in the morning time, and let my body burn fat, because I'm not constantly eating carbs all day long. My insulin and getting my cortisol out of whack because I'm stressed. All these different ways to help them that they're not thinking of.
So now taking this information, by the way, getting everybody looped in, what I had Mike do was to start getting potential leads for his personal training practice. One simple way is to actually initiate kind of conversations with potential prospects, but not as a sales pitch, because that's an immediate turnoff, but as kind of a research development type thing. So you go out saying, hey, I just have a few questions to learn about, this particular subject matter. Would love to ask you a few questions about your fitness, your health, that kind of thing. And then go through a series of questions, ask them about how they take care of themselves. Do they go to the gym, et cetera, et cetera. So you went and did this to a few people. So, and this is stuff that you can use online or off. And it's really powerful, because as soon as you pinpoint somebody who could be a potential prospect and they're starting to open up to you about why, or like they have problem X and why they can't solve it, you can take that information, you listen to it, you can relate back to them what they've said, and then you can provide them a solution. So with what you've heard from these people, Mike, I remember the instruction I gave was just go and get get feedback. But did you keep the conversation open so that you can come back to them later?
I got their. I just focused on getting emails, not phone numbers. So, because I'm building an email list anyway, and I have a subscribe unsubscribe button, so they have the option to opt out if I don't provide them with anything of value. So it's not really going to matter. I know for a fact that, you know, this lady named Beth. I mean, the only problem that these people have is they've never been treated well enough or know enough to actually have any like concrete value with like nutritional guidance and weight loss. And anything having to do with that, they've never been told the truth. Everybody lies to them, or they tell them just enough to keep them there. I don't do that. If they ask me a question like, hey, how do I lose weight? I'm going to say 85 nutrition. It's not supplements. It's not, you know, some weight loss pill. It's not using CLA or CQ10 or any of this crazy stuff. It's, you know, it's eating foods that are meant for your body metabolically. I mean, it's easy. It's 3,500 calories equal 1 pound. When they figure this stuff out, then they're just eyes are open. They're just like, oh my gosh, I want to know more.
So
it's the same thing with everybody.
And so now coming back to, you've done this research, you've confirmed probably some assumptions you've had. What's the next step? What are the next steps you take to get every single one of these people as a client?
Well, potentially I could close them to people there face to face, but like you said, online surveys. As soon as you, before you actually said that, I was looking on Facebook and there was a guy that was putting out an online survey. I'm thinking I should do that and then sponsor that and then send that out as much as I can on Facebook and see how many people I can get to answer it and then make it to where they have to put in their email and just build my email list as fast as I can if I can do it some way like that. Because face-to-face is too time-consuming. I can just pay $5 and get it to post out to, like, you know, 5,000 people, and then I get maybe 300. That's more than I had before. They can't tell. It's 10 questions, and it's all geared towards me getting what I want.
One of my favorite, like, thought leaders, I guess you could say, is Paul Graham. I don't know if you know him, Antonio, I've heard of him. I think his name is Paul Graham. He founded or co-founded Y Combinator. And he's famous for saying, do things that don't scale when you're first starting. So my suggestion in this case would be, you've already made the connection to at least 4 people. You've gotten some positive feedback. Obviously, these people are discontent with something in their lives. You have a possible solution. Low-hanging fruit to me says, close those 4. And here's the deal, because if you learn how to, you know, yes, it's more time consuming to close a deal in person or over the phone or over a video call or something, but you have a high probability of closing the sale. In person is the highest probability. That's why door-to-door sales work. So I would challenge you to this next week, close 4 clients. And I put a link in here. I love it. Big fan of Noah Kagan. And he actually is with a fitness guy, and he's giving an example of a fitness guy. I'll come back to your question, Zach Bob, in just a second. But he is talking to a fitness guy in this article I just linked, okdork.com/resources, how to sell anything. Watch the video. It's like 3 minutes long. But it'll show you how to listen, relate, and then transition something. And it's really powerful for closing a sale, because if you can, you've already done the first 2 things, but now you want to go back and actually do it as basically a sales pitch now. The guy's name is Paul Graham, the Y Combinator guy. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just trying to build a sales funnel that makes sense and not, like, you know, waste my time when I'm doing it. You know, try and make a few clients here, learn from it, get in a few more clients, learn from it, and just keep on moving. And then keep up with this, you know, like all this stuff. I've fallen so far behind on these modules. It's now school's over, I can catch up.
It's no worries. But I will say this, by doing this, this is one of the best practical exercises you can take, by actually going out and saying, okay, now I've done the research a little bit. I've maybe, you know, validated some assumptions. Now I'm going to go out and actually test this out, test out my assumptions, test out the things I've learned. What you're going to find is that a lot of the people say, oh, wow, yeah, that's so interesting what you're telling me. And then you say, okay, well, we can start next week. It's only $80 an hour. And they're going to say, oh, I'm too busy next week, or I'm too busy in the holiday seasons. Or no, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I have to ask my wife or my husband. And you're going to get a million different excuses. And so that's going to be the real challenge for you, honestly. The sales funnel stuff only works when you have a method for closing sales. So what I'm saying to you is, don't try to, like, race ahead to that too quick before you actually know how to turn somebody into a prospect, from a prospect to an actual sale. Does that make sense? So that you need – this is an important part.
Hey, Mike, do you have an updated sales page to share with me?
I kind of showed JBear what I was doing, but I've got this. I could send it to you. And I put the pricing list capped somewhere around 1,000 to 1,200, but I think I'm just going to keep it at 1,000 for premium clients, kind of like what you were saying before. But that's like the most I would put into people, almost like a VIP, and then they would get as much attention as they needed to keep them on track. And then a lower level client would be someone that's, you know, it's $400 a month, and they would get, you know, two Skype calls a month for 30 minutes, one training call on basic nutrition, and then the lowest one would be like $300 a month. And I think I need to scale those two a little bit differently, but $300 a month would be basically hands off. You know, they send me emails when they need stuff, and I only Skype call them if they absolutely have to, and it's only for like 15 minutes for like, you know, basic maintenance things, but it's like once a month.
Yeah,
and the top level one gets my phone number.
Share that one. Share that with me when you can. I'd love to take a look at it and be able to give you feedback on those three different price points and the three offers.
Is there a specific, I mean, I tried to use your email before and I didn't get anything back, but I know you're busy with StyleCon, but what's the specific email I use?
Just antonio@realmenrealstyle.com. I probably had you blocked, but I'm joking. I have no idea why. I get quite a few emails. It could be my assistant. You could just put in the subject, Jamie, send to Tony, or send to Antonio. She doesn't call me Tony. My wife calls me Tony, but I call myself Tony, I guess. But no, you can, yeah, it should get to me. Like, good deal. Yeah, because if you've got an offer, I still think the accountability is such a, I mean, we're hitting 3 weeks. I mean, everyone's thinking New Year resolution, I want to get in the best shape of my life. People are going to be looking to spend money in this area. So in the next, you know, you want to have something in the next week so that you can get on somebody's email list. A lot of those guys on StyleCon, you've met them, and they don't have any type of physical fitness product. They most of them sell shirts, or they talk about clothing, but there's a body that goes into that clothing. So you set up a deal where, hey, you know, you get 50% whatever we sell, you know, you can grab attention that way.
I've already set up. I know how you guys said to use PayPal, but I've already set up with a with direct pay, so I can take credit cards online.
Cool.
And
you have a button that works.
Well, I mean, I've got to get it. I'm trying to get it set up as fast as I can. Plus, I've got a contract from somebody else that I'm modifying.
Well, you can still use PayPal. You don't have to PayPal. You can just go in. If you can get that button set up in 15 minutes, that's where you start, and then get that other one going as well. You know, ideally, it'd be great if you can take multiple forms of payment. But at this point, you know, if you've just got a PayPal button, that's just the easiest. It takes 15 minutes just to go in there and create a button, not even that, in 10 minutes.
Is that like a form of coding? I mean, like, how do I attach that to like a Google Doc or?
Go find a video, how to build a PayPal button, where it is not no coding required, very simple. It will spit out some code for you, but yeah, this pretty darn simple stuff here.
How to build a PayPal button?
Yeah, how to build a PayPal button. PayPal walks you through the process. They make it really easy because they want you to use PayPal to sell.
Okay.
And worst case, if you've got a strong enough offer, I mean, I've worked with people that I just create the checkout for them. We just do this stuff. And, you know, I end up selling. Like, I've got a guy, he's a partner of mine, Black Man Style. You know, it's something which he is the face of the company, I'm the back end, and works out pretty well.
So do you get a percentage for that?
I own the company, so I get I go 50-50 with them, but it's something that, you know, I maintain control, everything comes through me, and then I do a 50% commission payout to him. So that could be even something like you don't even, if you really wanted to even be hands-off, you could find a partner that could do something like that, and you're in a sense, you're having to do certain amounts of work, but, you know, and the bad thing about that is you give up a lot of control, Mike. On the other hand, if it's someone you can trust and they trust you to be the face, it could be a, you know, a really great partnership because if they know the tech, you don't mind getting in front of and dealing with the clients and doing that work, hey, it's a win-win situation. That's how good partnerships are formed.
I see that on Shark Tank. I don't like people having their hands in anything. That's why I quit my job, was not to have anybody tell me what to do. So,
well, you're always to have, you know, people that you work with, especially if you want to build something big. You know, one person can, you know, but you want to just make sure. I mean, I have a no asshole rule. I don't work with people I don't like, and I don't take money. You know, it's like if I don't like somebody, I'm not going to partner with them. I don't need their money, and they can, you know. That's just something that I've got, and but you know you need to develop your own rules for the people you want to surround yourself with. I think you know when I met you at StyleCon, you enjoyed that because you're surrounded by inspirational people, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's the kind of partners you want to look for, people that literally look out for you and make you a better person.
I agree.
Cool. Well, Tom, what do you think? John, we've had haven't gotten an update from you yet. Let's hear what's going on, John.
That's cool.
There we go. Add on mute. All right. So for the website, I guess there's two things to update. I was able to get my lawyer to finally send me all the privacy policies and all that whatnot stuff. So all that's left is return policy. I have two items left to get sent to me so I can actually start sending out orders. My one tag that's left and one bag that needs to get completed, and then after that I'm good to go. Other than that, I've been looking through a lot of different options to start campaigns. I was talking to Nick and Zach earlier too to try and figure out the best campaign to start with is to keep. I want to generate enough of a flow that I can continue to test any issues that are within my production stream to delivery system without overwhelming myself. Also, I don't want it to start too slowly so it doesn't generate kind of mass and start self-populating, if you know what I mean. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm kind of stuck at that point, figuring out what to do.
Can you explain that point where you're stuck at again?
Okay, so I'm at the point where I want enough of I want enough clients so I can continue to verify the delivery system and the production system without overwhelming my staff right at the beginning. So obviously I want to have enough people that I can test this and keep going with it without overwhelming, you know, the delivery system, et cetera.
So you basically you're what you want is a kind of a limited rollout of your platform. So what exactly is the challenge there for you?
I guess the challenge is getting enough people in without going over the top on marketing and then not getting to the point where we can't maintain orders for the amount of customers we're getting in. We don't have an issue with actually making the suits. We can make a ton of suits. The issue is obviously making sure that it gets to the client on time, make sure that I can actually verify that everything's fitting correctly on their once it gets to them, and also administer any corrections or alterations that need upon delivery.
So why don't you, and this is something, John, I've seen other companies do, why don't you just have a limited run every month where, hey, we only make 10 suits a month. We're an exclusive company. We are, you know, there's two reasons why. One, we are, you know, very careful about who we bring on. We want to make sure we can serve you. So we're only taking on 10 clients a month. We're growing the company this way. And you know, what that does creates scarcity. It allows you to to limit how many people you're bringing on, and you can even work where you could actually offer a discount in price if you wanted to do that. I don't know if you're going for what are your price points going to be? Are you going to compete on price, or are you going to compete on quality or service?
So right now I've marketed myself probably right around the middle ground of the competitors, just so I don't have to work too hard to have people divert to our site. However, our quality point is higher, the material we use is better, and the actual construction of the suits better than the majority of competitors, or at least anybody I have found us at this point. We do full canvas, and we use only English wool or Italian cotton, which most of the competitors don't use that. They use either Chinese or Australian or similar products. However, our price point is very similar. So I'm above the average price for the what's considered, I guess, like your standard suit, but I'm below the higher end price that some of them are placing on their end, or what they consider to be higher end suits based on super level of the actual fabric. So if it's like a super 140 or super 150, they'll price it way higher just because of the super number, not by quality at all.
Well, let me ask, so what is your price, what's going to be the price for an entry-level suit?
Entry-level suit is $529 for a two-piece, and then for a three-piece, I think it's $649. Yeah, it's $649.
So who is your, like, what competitor prices at that price point? And we're going to look at them, like, when I'm looking at buying suits in the $500 range, who else is going to pop up?
So you have Indochino in their kind of standard, like their standard suit level, and you also have that EPH apparel, and there's a couple others, but those are the two major ones that are marketed similar to what I'm looking for, aka it's all done online except for two or three stores for both of them. Now I know Indochino has three or four storefronts, and EPH apparel has two storefronts. Right now.
And customer acquisition, how are you going to acquire these customers?
Right now, I'm looking at doing something similar to what Nick was talking about, as well as just straight SEO and doing a Facebook campaign and a Twitter campaign, so social media.
Okay.
And then a lot of the sales at the beginning are actually just walk up, talk to somebody, and talk about the company is what I've been doing right now, which generally generates more sales per conversation. Like if I talk to somebody online even, it's less likely that I'm going to generate a sale than just talking 5 minutes with somebody at like the wardroom, which is like our officer's mess. Because generally the people that go into the officer's mess have the assets to be able to go and to go and buy a suit without too much about it, and they need it for like social events, etc.
So why don't you focus in on your first 10 clients via that method, or your first 100 clients via that method?
That's what I have been doing so far. However, to get past, I'd say, 20 clients, I'm going to have to either go outside. I guess it's kind of an interesting situation based on where I'm in right now is Halifax. Not a lot of people wear suits in Halifax. When I go back to Victoria, it's a lot easier to figure that out. You go to the wardroom or you go to a couple of bars and you start talking about it. People are like, all right, tell me about it. I'm going to buy a suit from you. Can we figure this out? It's a lot easier in Victoria because people actually wear this out. Halifax, you're lucky if they wear a t-shirt.
Okay. So you're going to, I mean, I'm just thinking that if somebody is in the know, they're going to compare you to Not Standard, to Own Only, to Indochino. You probably, you've seen them. They're spending money, a lot of money, to acquire customers. More fashion forward, you know, a little bit more fashion forward there. Dapper, you know, I would say Not Standard is probably someone that many people are going to compare.
I was talking to this actually with Nate, and I want to do something different than what these guys are doing, which is, you see each one of those guys fits into your standard suit, except for like the guy on the far left or the guy on the far right. All of them fit into the standard suit that's on the rack, and I want to go for the guys that can't fit into the standard suits. The guys that go to the gym, or the guys that are, you know, taller. So that's what I'm looking to do right now, is also look for those guys and probably set up models. Like when I actually start going into actually having a model set up in a suit, is have them not be your average size. Have them be the person that can't fit into a suit off the rack.
Okay, so that's a very specific, that's a very unique angle to take. What's the problem with that? What with hard to fit guys, what's the problem with them?
Well, you have to fit them.
Exactly.
So,
is that something that you think your model can handle? I always found that the hard to fit guys were some of the most demanding. Were also, it seemed, some of the cheapest. But you know, I didn't ever specialize in them. So maybe it's something that you can charge a price point that you can attract enough of those really short, small guys, tall, big guys that weigh over 350 pounds. You know, it's are you going to have an extra fee for a guy that's 6'5", 350 pounds versus, you know, I've had guys that were 5'5", 120 pounds saying, hey, do I get a discount because I'm using less fabric? You know, I always thought that was kind of funny.
You know, I'm not looking for the, like, the extremes. I'm looking for, like, your standard guy in Canada, because most of the guys up here are not your, like, hey, I'm, you know, your standard fit that fits into a suit. They either have a little bit of a gut on them or a little bit more shoulders. I'm trying to eventually show that the suit is made to fit somebody who can't go to Sears, put on a coat, button it up, and walk out of the store after paying the bill. That's what the key driving factor in that is. So, no, I'm not looking for the big and tall. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, you know, just not your standard fit guy, which if you look on Indochino, I haven't I see the not standard. It generally has a couple of guys that are of that fit that aren't your standard fit, but especially Indochino and EPH Apparel are generally fairly skinny. Your average dude that can go into the store and actually just put on a suit and walk out, which isn't what I'm really marketing to. I'm looking for something that they actually want to see a fit that goes to their body style.
You know, one thing I have noticed about a lot of men, like something like this, they may actually have a bit of extra weight on them, but they see themselves like this. They think the suit can transform themselves. So it is something that there is a reason why this industry always has these handsome, rugged, good-looking guys. And I mean, a lot of men, this is how they envision themselves, how once they actually get it. But no, I would say it's something that, and there's a couple companies out there in jeans and other types that say, hey, we specialize in fit gentlemen. That may be something that may be easier. Guys with a large drop, guys with a good-sized chest, smaller waist, that may be an angle that you want to take. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I would love to see. Have you a way to test that? I mean, you could simply put together some Facebook ads and use that copy and test what actually gets clicked on, and then what people click to buy. Even though you maybe have nothing to sell them, you can tell if someone's really interested by how far they click into, you know, click here to buy now. If they click here, then it doesn't matter if you can deliver it or not, because you could say, sorry, you know, we've reached our limit for the number of new client on. Give us your email, or give us your email and password, and then you say you're sorry, you're at max capacity, but you know, we'll get in touch with you as soon as we, you know, in the next 48 hours as it we expect to be in stock. And then you could even give them a call or send them a personal note and say, hey, you know, really sorry, you know, we've reached the number, you know, our max number of clients this month. However, I'd like to move you onto the early bird list for next month. Are you interested? And, you know, this is all, you know, you can set this up. Yeah, I'm looking at not standard. I'm thinking this would be a great site to copy. I knew John Yazel. He's a friend of mine. I can put you in touch if you'd like. he used to work for Knot Standard. He went on to another company, but he was one of their top salesmen for a long time, and really helped take the company. He also worked for Suit Supply, which you may be familiar with, but they're more just off the rack. But no, it's good. How is the site coming?
The site is coming along quite good. I'm right now. We're actually switching over from. We were in like 3D model mode because we couldn't afford to just start shipping in fabric. So we've been converting a lot of generated images based on suits I already own. I own a lot of suits, but I don't have a lot in the fabrics that we have right now. So we've been converting it over. It's actually, I don't know if I ever passed it, it's like claymorebrothers.com. A lot of the suits are now able to get switched over. Like we've done most of the vests, and then we're going to be moving over to the suits to have them better 3D generated than they are right now. And then after, once we start shipping in more fabric, because essentially what I want to do is do it by usually comes in lengths about 74 meters. So when you get a new length of 74 meters, you can do one new suit and then put it as an image. But unfortunately, at the beginning, we couldn't do that. So yeah, and you were talking earlier as well about the companies that specialize in guys. There's a new company actually in Canada that just specializes in guys' jeans who play hockey, because that's our biggest problem. These are too big for suits and pants.
I like it. Well, I definitely would like to see you create a process where you can capture their information and you can test the assumption very easily and very quickly on Facebook. You can measure through clickbook rates, what's the cost to acquire somebody, how are people reacting to the ads for the company. If Beta Brand is very interesting. They had, you've probably seen it, sweatpants that look like dress pants or something. And it's always funny to go in and look at the comments, and people are always like, what has the world come to, or, this is horrible, I can't believe they're doing it. But it's actually a very interesting company, and they've done some pretty cool things. They're out of San Francisco, but all of this you can test for a lot less than the cost to actually truly build out the full systems would cost you.
Yeah.
Who is doing all your tech development for your website?
My tech development is a guy out of Victoria. He's been working quite well for me so far. Keeps fairly regular tabs, so.
Cool.
Actually, out of Victoria, not Vancouver.
Yeah. Do me a favor. Send me the website. I know you just told me I typed in. I must have mistyped it. I'll check it out. And yeah, let's set up. We need to probably have our one-on-one here in the next couple weeks. Let's go ahead and set that up. Send me an email, and we'll get that set up in my calendar. But, hey, we're already at 20 minutes past the hour, so I want to get in Dave, see you out there, and let you catch us up on what you've been up to. Mike, go ahead and set up a time with me. I would like to see your three-part sales page, though. So, Mike, go ahead and set up a time with me as well. Dave, you're up.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I spent this week trying to catch up on all the modules. I talked to Tom earlier this week. I think I was behind a week for whatever reason as far as what modules we needed to complete. So, got caught up today. Or yesterday, actually. Sales was the one I felt most comfortable with, just for my current position right now. I'm a sales director for a company in six cities, so a lot of the terminology and stuff was good. I really like putting some of my costs and things like that into perspective. Working for another company, I don't have to focus so much on costs. The only time that I ever get kind of hit with that truck is whenever I try to spend more money than we can spend, and then it's, hey, what's the return on investment going to be? So I get my hand slapped every once in a while, but for the most part, I don't have to worry about the sales aspect of it. The big thing that I've been getting out of the last couple days is going into a bootstrap mode, looking at some of the different avenues on how I'm going to fund and what my hard costs are. Versus the sales, and for me, I guess my primary service is going to be consulting and coaching. So I'm kind of in the same boat as Jay Bear. I've already had some success with a few of the clients that I've had, so trying to map out what that looks like, but I want to be able to protect some of my time so I can use it for other things like going to conferences, things like that. So just trying to get a good solid plan in place, and I'd like to be able to, you know, start building a strong email list right after the first of the year, so whenever I do go the full launch April 1st, I've already got a few clients already set up, but anything can happen between now and then, so I just want to make sure that I have a pre-set up for the few clients that I do work on work with personally, but I just want to make sure that I have other products and services that, that I can use to offset that my income.
Good to go, man. So if you're so comfortable in the sales module, I'm curious, which one did you feel that we could have expanded on, or you're like, hey, man, they totally missed it here?
Well, the biggest thing is I think there's a lot of the parts there. All the parts are actually there. I don't know if you guys were planning on going into the actual sales process. You know, I'm a huge fan of soft selling in a hard world. That's the basic framework of how we do every transaction, benefits, close, just the psychology of how we talk to clients. You know, Mike, I think you were already on track with a lot of that stuff, going out and just asking questions and only asking questions. That's the first part. And then, you know, building strong rapport with people is good, but you're also qualifying your people. You know, whenever you ask those questions, you're qualifying if they're even going to be a decent client for you. It could be a bad relationship right from the get-go, but building strong rapport, you know, establishing what the benefits are, finding out what their needs are, and then in the close, I don't know, I thought maybe I'd see a little bit of a sense of urgency, but that, for some people, that feels more like a hard sell, but some people just need to be closed. They just don't know how to do it. But a lot of the stuff that you guys have on the module was really good for me to put it into perspective for my business. I hadn't really thought about. I guess the big takeaway was get the money first. I just had a consulting client that was supposed to be for 3 months, 6 hours a week, and it turned into a month and a week very quick. And it was good because I worked myself out of the job. I brought them to a point that they, you know, could sustain it on their own. But I had already budgeted out to be paid on all that service for the quarter. So I'd like to be able to look at the idea of doing a deposit for consulting, and then payment in full at the end of each month. So I really did like that portion of the sales.
And that's something that you can, in many ways, condition your customer. It's also something maybe you want to take on only those customers that are willing to do it. I brought this up. Again, I'm going to go back to that article I shared with you over at Ramit created it, and it's about Jim Collins. This guy has written some amazing books. He's been around for a long time. But he basically came to a point where he demands $60,000 per speech.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, he only gives fewer than 20 a year, and a third of them are donated. So of that, you know, he's getting 10 at $60,000. However, that's a lot better than doing a bunch of $6,000 speeches. And so this is something I've had to teach the people on my team, is we say no to advertising deals that are less than $2,000. Honestly, it's kind of – that's what I used to make a month, just a few years ago. That's a lot of money. But I say no to it now because it frees me up to focus in on $10,000 deals. And it's funny, somebody, BJ, brought up the Fifth Watches. And I did a set of deals with these guys. Paid me very well to talk about their great product, which I was happy to. And that's the thing, if I hadn't said no to a $2,000 deal, I wouldn't have been able to say yes to a $15,000 deal with these guys. And, you know, for them, it's funny, it wasn't Like, it was a great return on investment. They want to do more. They want to be inserted into my email list. But when BJ brought these guys up, FYI, go check them out, because they only sell watches for 5 days a month. And think about that in a sales process. You know, and in 10 months, they went from, and I can bring the founders on. Angus is a great guy. But these guys, in 10 months, family-run business, went from nothing. Well, they had a big Instagram account, and that's one of their top marketing. I think 2 months ago, I know they had $300,000 in sales in 5 days, and that's only being in business for 10 months. So pretty amazing little company here. And they're using Instagram as one of their main drivers of traffic, and they've got quite a few followers here. But many companies can't figure out Instagram. These guys have figured it out. And so I'm curious, you know, Mike, why do you think a flash sale is so effective? 5 days. Why do you think it works?
Who are you asking?
Mike. What do you think, Mike?
A flash sale, 5 days, why? So depending on the product, like this watch, people like sales, and if they have like a higher price and it's down like $40, it'd be the best time to get it.
Imagine if you were to talk to people and you were to say, well, I only take on two new clients a month. So here's my card. You know, I'm sorry. I'd love to take you on, but you know, basically you're going to have to go. It's something, let's talk at the beginning of the month. I need for you to, you know, reach out to me and let me know you're really, because I only take on people that really want to improve their body. And I'm sorry, no discounts. I'm this price. You know, that's what they're allowed to say. They don't discount their price. You know how much these watches cost to make in China and then what they sell them for? What do you think, Nick? They sell the watches for about $140.
They probably cost 20.
Yeah, $15.
Yeah.
And maybe to get delivered to anywhere in the world, that'll cost 30. I mean, and people go in and they buy. These watches are designed for you to buy 5 to 10 of them because they're a fashion watch, and a lot of guys pick this stuff up. So they're nailing a lot of. I mean, this isn't rocket science. Watches have been around for a while. They're simply using a great sales technique to sell a watch that in many ways, many people may consider to be overpriced. But I don't consider it overpriced because before these guys came to me, I had never talked about watches. Since then, I've created about 7 watch articles, 3 watch, 4 watch videos, and I'm having fun with watches. And I really think that it's a lot of fun to wear a watch, to get comments on it, to actually remember what it's like to check your watch for the time versus your phone. And, you know, so for me, and it's cool. But a great company to check out. Thanks, BJ, for the rec. And Dave, I'll give it back. You know, was there anything else you wanted to cover or any other updates you want to make for us?
No. Like I said, I was really there was a lot of good stuff that I got out of the sales portion of it. For me, and I don't know if this will help anybody else, but I have found the value in saying no, in charging more for the few that we can take on. I realize I only have so much time, so I do want to spend the majority of my time working with premium clients. I've ran with some pretty fast company. I like the resources that you guys showed of Jim Collins. Had a little bit of mentorship from Lee Cockrell. Lee Cockrell was the VP of operations for Disney. I think he was on the podcast with you guys. I got him on the podcast with you guys. But he does a lot of time management stuff as well. He's a veteran, Army veteran. So I did a little bit of coaching with him through a project that we had. And he really was very firm in saying, because he charges $25,000 to $30,000 per speaking event. And it sounds crazy, but then I'm not going to be able to do that right off the bat. Hire, really be conscious of my time, and maybe I work with fewer clients, but you know, I still, you know, bring in $10,000 a month or so, and then I can leave more opportunity to take on some of those speaking events. And even though I might start doing speaking events for free to get my name out there, I'm not going to be able to take on any of those events if I'm bogged down with a lot of clients, you know, that I'll pay like $500 a month or something like that.
Hey, BJ had to head out. It was good having him here. And if there's anyone else in the comments, you know, I see messages. Some Nick was talking about driving about around Wisconsin and joining our radio stations a while back. And Zach Bob's throwing in some stuff there about scarcity, why it's great for crowdfunding. But, you know, one of the things I love to be with you guys is really transparent. And so here's – I have a company that used to send me shoes, and I would do – I did a video for free. And the problem was it took me 6 months to create that video. Because when you're not getting paid for something, it takes forever to do it, simply because you've got to do things which pay the bills. So I took some advice from a friend of mine, and he said create a great media kit and start charging people. And what's funny is that same company that I did – basically I did a free review for – then they, I said, not sorry, guys, it's $3,000. And that's with the video, that's with an article, and I'll send it out to my email list. Now that rate is incredibly low because I charge, here's a media kit, I've got it kind of hidden on my website. If you want one post like that, I'm going to charge you now $9,000. And that company still gets it for $3,000 because I grandfathered them in. And I love it because they just send me a PayPal. They'll pay within 24 hours, $3,000, and I do all of that for them. They never ask what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. They trust me. And so I've got the ideal customer. I don't mind going, you know, I still make quite a bit of money off of a $3,000 transaction, even though now I bring in an artist and a videographer and a writer who do a lot of the work for me. But I'll still net, at the end of the day, $2,500. After I've paid them, you know, my expenses on it. So, but here's the deal, is I try to now close deals like this for a three-part advertising deal, and when I send this to somebody, it resets the conversation. Because in my industry, people try to give you free product for your hard work, and they try to do it all the time. So if you're going to sell a service, one of the things that you may want to invest in, and you can get a media kit, I would say for you could put one together in Word. Do it yourself. That's better than nothing. But eventually you want to get a sexy media kit, and you can all of a sudden you know, start resetting the conversation about what you do and what it, you know, if I'm going to talk about something on social media, we start at $1,000. If I'm going to do an infographic for you, starts at $5,000. If you want to do some business consulting, $9,000. Oh, and I'm pretty clear. It's going to take me 3 months. I don't just give a one call deal. You want to sponsor one of my ebooks, $10,000, and it allows me to reset the conversation. $7,500 for a presentation. And where did I come with this number? To me, this is what it would cost for me to be away from my girls, my wife, for 2 nights, and to be away from my business for 2 days, because that's what it does cost, is I will lose 2 solid days of work, and I will not be in my bed with my wife and tucking in my kids for 3 nights or 2 nights for something like this. So, you know, think about what those numbers and put it, even if you've got a media kit, Mike, and you don't share it with anybody, but you want to be thinking, what's it worth to you? What are those numbers? And I can tell you my numbers have gone up quite a bit. Your numbers, I don't know what they're going to be, but it's a good exercise if you've got any type of service. You know, Zach Bob, you're a smart guy, and you know crowdfunding better than most people in the world. You should have a consulting media kit that it's like, even if you give it to them for free, that you can give them the kit and say, hey, guys, look, I normally charge. When I give someone a free hour of my time, and I normally they can see what I charge for my time, they treat it valuable. Put a price on your time. Put a price on your effort, because no one else will unless you do it.
Can you send me a link to that?
Yep.
To your media kit.
PDF in there. That's the PDF. The hidden page, I think, is just media kit or something like that. Yep, media kit. I update it probably twice a month, or twice a year. All those social media things change. So, all right, well, let me see. Who else do we got? Got Dave saying Zach Bob for president. Jay Bear, everything good out there? All right, good.
Oh, I did have one other thing, and I don't know if anybody else considered this. For those of you guys that are bootstrapping, one thing that I really took into account, since we are talking about sales and marketing, that's a strong suit for me. I really suck at everything tech. I think Zach Bob has learned this over time, and he's just too nice to me to let me know. But I really suck at tech stuff. So, like, websites and things like that, I don't want to pay like top dollar. I want to get top dollar value out of a website, but think about the skills and stuff that you do have, and a lot of times you could trade people out on those services. So I've already got two people right now that I'm working on that I'm going to be talking to about a website, but they have like zero sales and marketing experience, but they can jam out websites all the time. So as a bootstrapping, I'm going to trade out a lot of my services. So Mike, that's one thing that you could do for any thing that you have, that you do see a lot of costs, like do trade out stuff. That's one of the big takeaways for me as I get everything ready.
Good deal. All right, guys. Well, we're at the end of tonight's call. Here's the big news. Next week, we've got our first special guest. We've got Nathan Berry. You know, I got a request for it. We made it happen. And, just let me know. I've already seen Jeff Walker. Somebody wants to bring that guy in. You know, I've got mixed feelings personally about Jeff Walker. I think he's a little sleazy. But, I can bring in some sleazy, though, people. I've got some dark connections. Yeah.
What's sleazy about him? I'm just curious.
I would say that because he got in really early at the price points, a lot of stuff people like try to get their money back and not be able to get it back. I think his book is solid, and I think he comes off as a great person. But he was more of an Internet 1.0 kind of guy, and he's almost to me more of a motivational speaker than he has his, like, if you look at when he made it, he lives out in Durango, kind of stays off the grid nowadays, and he's been part of, if you look at the Salty Droid, you can see kind of like the syndicate kind of stuff. There's some dark parts of the Internet. It's fun to go there. Make sure you go in an incognito. You don't want to get tracked out of there. But yeah, check out the Salty Droid. That's a trip. He tears apart a lot of the older online internet marketers like Ryan Dice, what's his name, Frank Kearns, and some of those guys. It is what it is. But I think that there's like I charge a certain amount, but I'm also careful if somebody's not qualified. I'm not going to charge. Like, I won't take somebody's money if they think that I'm the Hail Mary that's going to save them. Like, that's kind of, I find that's an ethical dilemma. And I've seen some of these guys sell to people who are last hope. And to me, that's something. It's like, no. Like, I don't, like, this is hard work. Expect to put in a year of hard work, if not more. Like, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And some of these people sell the dream, and then they, when that person's, declared bankruptcy, they still keep it. So I don't know Jeff Walker, but that's kind of, I've seen him in and around with some of those guys that I know do that, and that's kind of my ethical dilemma with that. But
What about David Sack Garland?
Oh yeah, David's cool, but he's a sales machine. I've interviewed with Dave. I know Tom. Do you know Dave?
Yeah, I do. At least via the internet.
Mark is used to.
Can you hear me?
I'm sure we could get him on. He's a patriotic American.
Mm-hmm.
David Simon Garland. And he's always looking to promote his teach how to create awesome online interview like websites like So it's like, hey, Dave, we'll get you in front of some veterans, and you can pitch them.
Yeah.
He'll be, oh, yeah, yeah.
I like it. He does a lot of list cross-promotion, too, like with his email list.
Yep. All right. Tom, anything you want to add?
No, guys, I think that's it. I've sent out my calendly.com/tmorcus link for those who want to hop on a one-on-one. Just grab the time. The only thing I ask is that you definitely put in your Skype address and just ping me when the call comes. That way it's not running around trying to find contact information. But that's all I got. Cool.
All right. All right. Well, let's go ahead. Let me see my calendar. I'll try to just send me an email if you wanted to set up a time. I'm pretty packed this week, but I'm going to make up some time. I'll open up all next Wednesday for some meetings. So take care, everyone.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right.